Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew, and we are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number to call, 877-655-6755. Wide open lines here at the top of the hour, so plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you're a first-time caller, please know that we love to hear from our first-time callers, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you're a veteran, if you've called in the past, and, you have a new question tonight, by all means, join us. We'd love to hear from you as well. That number, once again, 877-655-6755. That's the number. And we've got open lines, so plenty of room for you right now to get in. Well, let's start off tonight's broadcast with Dan in Pennsylvania. Hi, Dan. You're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Yes, good evening, Andrew. In Ezekiel 43:19, it talks about during the millennial reign of Christ how the sacrifice is going to come back into play, animal sacrifice again. Mm-hmm. What led to this question is, in Sunday school class, we were studying Hebrews 10, and I made the comment how Christ forgave his sins once and for all. We don't have to ask for forgiveness. We agree that our sins are forgiven. And then the teacher said, well, if that's the case, then what about this? We'll research it and talk about it next Sunday. So I want your opinion on that, because I was unaware of that.
Right. Okay. Well, Dan, thanks for your question tonight. It's great to hear from you. I'm glad you called into the broadcast. I mean, yeah, I think that's the problem with the, you know, going into the Old Testament and looking into Ezekiel and saying, well, that's got to be about this period of time, and then having that not fit with our view of the sacrifice of Jesus. So, you know, we have to just recognize that sometimes Old Testament prophecy is not about some defined time that we can point to. Sometimes it's not about, you know, this thousand-year period or this time that we've mapped out and had, you know, specificity about. I think sometimes we have to leave some of what we read in prophecy to just let it be what it was intended to be. I mean, it's a apocalyptic literature. It's written about a time that, you know, is very much symbolic, perhaps. There's an ongoing battle between God and Satan, between good and evil, between righteousness and sin. And ultimately, what we're seeing is that God wins. And so, you know, that's why I shy away from trying to map everything out and act like we have everything figured in terms of millennium and when things are going to happen within that millennium. And, you know, when we get to that point where we think we know everything, then, you know, it seems like sometimes the scriptures throw a wrench in that. And I think that this would be a classic example of that. I mean, we know that we're not going to return to animal sacrifices. Those were for Israel. Those are Old Testament, Old Covenant sacrifices, and we're not going to return to those because, you know, Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, and what he did is a finished work. He did it once, and it worked perfectly. It's the great takeaway of our sins, not a covering of sins like animal blood did, not a day of atonement that needs to occur year after year after year, but instead a once-for-all sacrifice that leaves us completely forgiven. So there's no reason that animal sacrifices would be done at any future date. So sometimes when we think we've got prophecy all figured out and all mapped out the way that we want it to be, then, you know, we figure out pretty quickly, hey, this doesn't fit, this doesn't make sense. And so at that point, you know, I'd say question everything. I mean, question everything about your timeline when something like this doesn't line up. So, Dan, those are my thoughts there. And, you know, every single time that people have talked about the return of Christ, predicting that it's coming, you know, next week, next month, next year, 5 years from now, targeting a date, targeting a day, a time, an hour even, you know, they end up with egg on their face, and it's embarrassing to the church. Well, it's no different, I think, when we, you know, sort of think we've got everything figured out in terms of the future, and then a passage like this in Ezekiel comes up, and it doesn't fit our hermeneutic. It doesn't fit our perspective. And then you have to say, well, wait a minute. Maybe the way I've been taught, maybe the way I've lined up prophecy is not the correct way in the start or to begin with. So those are some of my thoughts on that, my friend. And, you know, I think some of this is a mystery, and we won't know the answers until we're on the other side, when we get to see behind the veil of death itself, and we get to be with our Father face to face. So thanks for your call tonight, and I hope you'll call back anytime. All right, well, let's go now to Michigan, and we'll talk with Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
Good, good. What have you got for us?
Well, I often hear my friends mention how they feel the Holy Spirit leading them to do something, or how they hear God talking to them. And I've never felt that or heard that. And I'm just wondering, am I missing something? And if so, what I can do to hear the voice of God? Or, I don't know. Yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first, you know, God leading us is definitely not an audible voice. Obviously, you know, people say the Lord told me, the Lord said to me, the Lord this, the Lord that, and we are very quick to think, well, my goodness, the Lord hasn't told me anything lately. Where is he? Why isn't he talking? Why isn't he speaking? Where's his voice? Am I really hearing from him? And so the first thing we need to clarify is, you know, those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is not about an audible voice. There's no skywriting in the sky. There's no lightning bolt out of heaven. There's no audible voice in our ear. Instead, we're talking about being led internally, being led from the heart. That's where Christ dwells, so we're led from the heart. And also we experience the renewing of the mind as we get to know God's truth. So when the mind and the heart are engaged and they're in agreement with the Word of God, that is what his leading is like. It's not a feeling. It's not a voice, and it's not a feeling. It's much more like an inspiration, a motivation. There is something that happens within our hearts. We get a heart desire. I mean, that's what the new covenant is, right? I will write my desires, my laws, my passions, my desires. I will write them on the lining of your heart, and I will write them on your mind. So it happens in the mind, and it happens in the heart. And a lot of Christians are scared of their heart. I mean, they think, you know, the worship pastor gets up on stage and is strumming on his guitar, and he looks up to heaven mid-song, and he says, God, we've got wicked, wicked hearts, Lord. And everybody says, amen. Well, hold on. Hit the pause button there. Don't amen that, because we don't have wicked hearts. We have new hearts. We have what Paul calls in Romans 6, obedient hearts. We used to be slaves of sin. We became obedient from the heart. So, you know, what's the takeaway from that? Well, our hearts are compatible with God. So our true want-tos, our true passions, our true desires are compatible with Christ. So don't be afraid of your heart. Don't be afraid of your want-to. Don't be afraid of your passions and desires. You know, when God says he'll give you the desires of your heart, that means there's nothing wrong with the desires of your heart. So be led internally. Be led from the heart. And that's what leading really means. It's not an audible voice. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not a secret message. It is an ongoing passion and an implanted desire that is inscribed on our hearts. So that's why I think the heart message is so important for the church today. We need to know we've had a heart surgery. We need to know we've had a DNA swap. We need to know that we are new at the core, and therefore it's okay. Our want-tos are okay. And we need to not be afraid of who we are and not see ourselves as an obstacle to God, but instead see ourselves as an instrument of God. Big difference. Huge difference. So those are my thoughts on being led. As far as what your friends are saying, Matt, my thought there is, you know, don't compare yourself with them. Don't try to figure out what they're experiencing. Go ahead and ignore those expressions. You know, lots of people have lots of Christian verbiage in the world today. And so you don't have to, you know, wonder whether you're experiencing what they're experiencing. You know, the Bible tells us that when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we end up with no understanding. So just fix your eyes on Christ. Recognize that He cleaned house and He moved in and He lives in your heart. And He's leading you internally through your passions, your desires, your motivations. He'll inspire you, and it's not a feeling. It's a want-to. And that is what it means to have the indwelling Christ lead us. So, Matt, thanks for your call tonight. I hope you'll join us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Michigan, and we'll talk with Laura. Hi, Laura. What have you got for us tonight?
Hi there. I love your show. I've learned so much just from listening to you, so thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thanks.
So my question is something. So as a Christian, we know that we, with the gift of salvation, we have eternity. We don't have to earn eternity with God. We have it when we accept Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then the other night I was thinking about how it does say in the Bible that we will all be judged, you know, when we go to eternity. And then I thought about, you know, I'm just a typical Christian. I try to do the best I can, but we're humans and we sin all the time. We don't mean to, but it's just sort of, we have a sin nature. And I was like, so I'm going to be so excited to see God. I'm going to go to eternity, but I'm still going to have this judgment before I can enter. And it seems sort of like, not a punishment, but sort of like, oh, well, here's what you did. It wasn't so great. You do get to come into the kingdom of God, but look at all these bad things that you did that weren't so great. And it's just sort of hard for me to match that up with being excited about going to heaven, knowing that I'm still going to be on the judgment, being judged.
Right. Well, yeah, Laura, I mean, first, I think the key is that you're going to pass. I mean, a judgment, it assumes a pass and a fail, a status. There's no semi-pass. There's no semi-fail with God. My goodness, I mean, you're either the righteousness of God or you're not. With God, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. So you've either been forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness or you haven't. So you're right that there's a judgment, but the bottom line is that you pass, that you score a 100%. You're the off-the-charts righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. So we have to recognize that, you know, there's no middle ground. You know, as I often joke, there's sheep and there's goats, but there's no shoats and there's no geep, right? There's no hybrid animal. You're not stuck in the middle. There's no gray area. There's no wondering. As John writes, perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. So if I'm fearing this final judgment, it's because I'm imagining punishment. Fear involves punishment. Well, there is no punishment left. Remember, Jesus Christ died. Why did He die? Well, the wages of sin is death. Jesus died. So we do the math and we celebrate. It's real simple math, right? Jesus took all the wages. There's no wages left. That's why Paul can say there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's why Jesus can say, you know, he who believes in me is not judged. He who does not believe in me stands judged already. So, you know, there's a moment in which we will face that final judgment, but as far as that pronouncement, I mean, the pronouncement is, you're not a goat, you're a sheep. The pronouncement is, you're not in Adam, you're in Christ. The pronouncement is, you're not in Revelation chapter 20. You're not being pulled up from Hades and judged according to your deeds. You're found in chapter 21 of Revelation, not chapter 20. You're a different story altogether. You're the bride of Christ. You're found in Revelation 21, and God's invitation is enter into eternity with me forever. No more tears, no more sorrow. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's black and white. There's no middle ground. There's no confusion to it. It's very clear. So every Christian is the righteousness of God. Every Christian is holy and blameless. Every Christian has had all of their sins taken away. So, you know, it's amazing, though, how much double talk there is and how much lack of clarity there is in the Christian world today. I mean, out of one side of our mouth, we say, oh, yeah, 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 Jesus took away my sins. He took away my sins once for all. I'm totally forgiven, past, present, and future. And then we say, but he's going to judge me for my sins. Well, I thought you said he took them away. Is he going to judge you for something that he took away? I thought you said that he remembers your sins no more. Is he suddenly going to remember what he said he wouldn't remember? I mean, we need to be getting this straight and then shouting it from the rooftops. It's a big deal. The forgiveness issue is over. Jesus put it this way. He said it's finished, and it is finished. So when the Son of God announces that your sins are gone and that the obstacle between you and God is no more, then we need to celebrate that to the fullest, share it with other people, and know that it means that as far as that judgment, we pass with flying colors. We have been forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness, and on top of that, we've been made into the righteousness of God. So we went from a negative 10, if you will, to a zero. That's the cleansing of all of our unrighteousness. We went from a negative 10 to a zero, and then on top of that, we were made the righteousness of God. So we went all the way to a positive 10 on the other side. And so when we recognize what God has done for us, then the issue of a final judgment, my goodness, it just becomes so clear. I mean, we're either in or we're not in. Well, you're in. You're in Christ. You're in the family. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. There's nothing but celebration to look forward to in terms of that final judgment. So, Laura, I hope that's clarifying for you, and I hope it's encouraging to you as well. You know, there's a chapter on this topic in my book, Relaxing with God. If you don't have that yet, you can hang on the line. I'd love to send you this book as a gift tonight. So don't go anywhere. Hang on the line there, and we'll get you this book. It's called Relaxing with God. Chapter 8, You Won't Be Judged for Your Sins. So if you're listening tonight and that sounds like a topic that is of interest to you, you've been wondering about the final judgment, you want solid answers that are scriptural, well, I encourage you to pick this up. It's called Relaxing with God. It's available right now on Amazon.com. All right, that number to call, 877-655-6755. We've got some open lines, plenty of room for you right now to get in with your question. If you have a question tonight about a personal problem going on in your life, maybe there's something going on in your family, in your marriage, or in your church, you want to talk it over and get a biblical perspective, or perhaps there's something about a scripture passage that has bothered you. Maybe you heard something in church recently, you're not sure about it. Well, let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. Still time on the clock, plenty of room for you. If you like what you're hearing tonight and you want to connect with us on a deeper level and get encouraged, you can do so at our website. Our website is andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. And there you'll find thousands of messages, long format teachings on books of the Bible. And then also there are plenty of short videos to encourage you in your new identity in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a forgiven person? What does it mean to live under a brand new covenant? What does it mean to have this identity where you were crucified, buried, and then raised to newness of life in Jesus? What is that all about, and how does it really play out on a day-to-day basis? Well, that's what you'll find at our website. Plenty of resources to strengthen you in who you are and your understanding of God's grace. So check it out. It's all free. You can go to our website right now. It's andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. All right, well, here's a question from Joseph, and it's about prayer. He says, do I need to pray in Jesus' name, or do I have to pray in the Father's name? Who do I pray to, and does it really matter? Well, Joseph, you know, as far as who you pray to, I mean, remember that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, there is an expression in Jesus' name, but I think that's all about representing his agenda and his heart. And I think that we have to remember that we are in Jesus. I mean, if you're a believer, you're in Jesus. If you're a believer, then you are in Christ. So every time we pray, we're praying as people who are in Jesus Christ. So it's not about tacking on, you know, three magic words to the end of some prayer and then voila, everything happens the way we want. Instead, we recognize that we're in Christ and we have this new heart and we can pray according to our new heart. And sometimes, I don't know, has this ever happened to you? You're mid-sentence in your prayer and you just think, you know what? I feel like I'm just, I'm asking for this better circumstance. I'm asking for all of this to change. And maybe, just maybe, this is not what's on God's heart. Maybe, just maybe, I'm asking for an easier time. And that's likely not what's going to happen because God's plan is bigger. Well, that's fine and good, and we learn from that. But, you know, not every prayer we pray is representative of God's heart. We can pray after the flesh. We can pray walking by the Spirit, so to speak. So there's nothing magic about the words in Jesus' name. It's just that, you know, he is our access to the Father because we are in him and he is in us. So it's not a requirement, Joseph. You can be driving down the road and talking to God at any time, whether it's out loud or in your own mind, privately with the Lord. And certainly there's no formula to it. Be yourself. Be transparent. Be open. God knows everything anyway. And because you have that incredible access, the Bible says that we can pray boldly and confidently and approach him with the ultimate in confidence. All right, well, let's go now to New York, and we'll talk with Karen. Karen, we've got a minute left, so hit us with it. What have you got for us?
Okay, the Bible says that when we die, our spirit goes to the Lord, and we're judged. But in Revelation, it says, when God comes again, those in Christ shall rise first. If we've already been judged, what is rising?
Okay, great, great question. Yeah, I think, again, you know, just this comes full circle back to the first question we answered tonight. You know, we basically have to get to this place where we say there's some mystery to eternity. I mean, I understand time as a 24-hour day, but when I enter into eternity, everything is new and different and a bit mysterious. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, we were to die and then awaken to the sound of the trumpet, leaving this world and leaving our sense of time as we know it and entering into eternity with Jesus forever. So there's something mysterious about that eternity, something awesome about it, and certainly we can expect.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.